We've been exploring for the last few weeks, we've been exploring the idea of truth over trend, truth over the culture that we're in, truth over the popularity of different cultures. And one of the things I want to look at today is being part of a group, being part of a group. And everyone needs to be part of a group. You know, we come to church because, well, you know, the Lord said, hey, don't forsake the gathering together. So we come to church, but we're in a group, aren't we? And we're in a group with people who have pretty much mostly the same type of ideas. That's just how we people are made up. We want to belong. We want to be part of a group. And we want to find a group that we fit in with and that we want to be a part of there. And in fact, this is such an important part of our lives that we find groups with the same thinking and the same ideals that we have. You know, you have different clubs out there. You know, you have like, the different clubs that are out there. There's many of them. Okay, we don't need to go through them. But you have different clubs out there, and people join these clubs because they want to be part of a group that thinks the same, that has some of the same goals, the same ideas, some of the same interests as each other. We go to, in fact, in some of these groups, we really go to great lengths to change the hearts and the minds of those who are outside of our group to begin to think like the group that we're in, right? You know what I'm talking about? We want them to think, because we think we're right in that, to think more and more like our group. And perhaps that's not a bad thing. You know, if only the ideas in our group are based on what? That foundation of truth that we've been talking about. The ideas of truth that we've been talking about that really come from God's word. And that truth, of course, is God's truth. It's not a political truth. It's not a cultural truth. Even though there's things in culture that may be true, if it does not line up with God's word, then it's a trend. It's not real truth. The idea that we are loners and don't want to socialize with people is really a false idea. Now, there are times when, you know, some people want to be alone. Okay. But it's not healthy for a person to just go out and be off by themselves. In fact, you know, if you ever come across people who, you know, you may be hiking in the mountains and come across this old broken down shack up there where this hermit lives there. You know, have you ever heard the story of a happy, joyful hermit? Or the happy troll? Okay. They're grumpy. They're grumpy trolls. They're grumpy hermits. Because why? Because they are not around people. And people want to be around people. They want that socialization. They want to be part of a group. We were created by our Creator to have fellowship. To have fellowship with one another. And the Lord said that, you know, to Adam, He's like, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. Man needs somebody to fellowship with, to talk with, to be to have a relationship with. So He created Eve. Well, the group that we belong to tends to become the culture that we fit into. You belong to a group, and that tends to become that culture or that trend that you fit into. So the question is this, is what culture do you want to fit into? What trends do you want to be a part of? A culture and trends that are based on the solid foundation of truth that we've been talking about here are really those groups that you want to fit into, isn't it? Ones that are teaching the truth, ones that have the truth. So we've looked at, in the past few weeks, that we've looked at the priority of truth over trend. And just how that foundation of truth should be our priority. We've looked at living out the truth in our lives. We have that foundation of truth. We have the foundation of truth. Now, what did it look like? What does it look like in our lives as we live that truth out? And then we talked about proclaiming the truth to others. We have this foundation of truth. We have the truth of the gospel, the truth that of the saving Messiah that we have, the Redeemer, Christ Jesus. We have that, now proclaiming it to others. Last week we talked about the truth and harmony in an argument culture. And today I want to look at the truth of being in the right group of people. The truth of being in the right group of people. So if you have your Bibles out and you want to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to talk about being part of a group, being part of a group. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." Verse 10, "For you once were not people, you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." When you put your faith in Christ and become, He becomes your Messiah. He becomes our Messiah, and we taste His mercy in our lives. We become something very special. We become something very special when we put our faith in Christ. We become members of a special group of people, the church. And we don't become special for our own sake. We don't become special to make me feel better, to make ourselves feel better. But we become we don't become a part of that group to make us act better. We become special and precious in His sight for a much greater thing than for ourselves. It's to shine His marvelous light to a needy people. It's to shine His marvelous light into a people who are in darkness. He's equipped us to do that by making us people who are different. By putting us into a group of people who are different, who are created for His people. It says that we are a chosen race, a separated generation. We are a chosen race, a chosen people. You've been chosen to be part of a people or a race that God has ordained to use. Now, race here is not referring to an ethnic group. Okay, it's not referring to an ethnic group that people may be a part of. Okay, it is referring to a group of people who share a common unity, a group of people who share a common belief, a common ideal. Okay, and all the positions Peter used in verse nine there were originally referred to Israel, and then Israel rejected the Messiah, rejected their Redeemer. 1 Peter 1:7 says, "This precious value then is for you who believe." For you who have put your faith in Christ as your Savior, this precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. So He chose Israel. Let's go back in history a little bit. Okay, back in Israel, back in the Old Testament, He chose Israel. A promise was made to Abraham. Abraham was chosen by God to be the beginning of the chosen people. And his qualifications to be chosen by God was, well, faith in God, faith in what God had told him to be true. Genesis 15:6 says, "Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it him, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness." And that his descendants, and he also believed that his descendants would be a special people called out to do a much greater work than any other nation in the world. Even at that time, there were other nations, but God specifically chose Abraham, chose that nation of Israel to do greater things than any other nation. Deuteronomy 10:15, "Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as it is this day." And they would be blessed more than any other nation as they pursued what they were chosen to do. God had a purpose for Israel. And that purpose for them would be that they would be a priest, that they would be a nation of priests. Exodus 19:5 says, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." Verse 6, "And you shall be made, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." We are not even moving here, are we? Wow. Say, "Hey, Mike, we'll catch up here." It helps if I turn the clicker on, right? All right. "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." So they were chosen to be something special. Israel was chosen to be something special, to be different than all the other nations in the world. They were to be God's own possession. No one else's possession. See, and this is the thing about Israel, is that God wanted to be their own possession. He was their possession. They were not to be a nation that would be in captivity, and yet what happened? They went into captivity many times. They were not to be a nation enslaved to other nations. They were to be God's possession among all other nations. And whenever they were possessed by other nations, whenever they were in captivity by other nations, why was that? It's because they stopped believing. It's because they rebelled and they did not do what God had told them to do. So they were a kingdom of priests. They would stand between God and the rest of humanity, representing people before God. They were not to be a generation or a race. They were to be a generation that brought people into a living relationship with God. A holy nation, a people set apart to be God's chosen people to proclaim His glory to all the nations. And there are times in, you know, as you read through the Old Testament, there are times that they did that, didn't they? They were to the glory of God and proclaiming God to the other nations by their victories, by their actions. So this was the whole nation of Israel. But then something happened, okay? And the entire nation lost that blessing to be His priest to all nations. And those called ones to the minister to the world, they lost that. Israel worshipped the golden calf, and it was apostasy. And He gave the blessing to the faithful tribe of Levi. So instead of the whole nation of Israel, He gave this blessing to the Levi. In Numbers 3, it says, "Now behold, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel, instead of every firstborn, the first issue of the womb among the sons of Israel, so the Levites shall be mine. For all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified myself, all the firstborn in Israel, from man to beast, they shall be mine, I am the Lord." So God wanted to dwell among Israel. Okay, He wanted to dwell among Israel. He wanted to reside among them because they were His precious possession. They were His precious people. He dwelt among them in the tabernacle and the temple. Okay, that was His dwelling place. He wanted to be with His people until Israel rejected that. And it made that intimate relationship with God impossible. And so He left. And in His presence departed Israel. And we see that in Ezekiel 10. It says, "And the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim." They were to be a beacon of light to all nations. Here, this chosen nation, they were to be a beacon of light to all nations, and they rejected God. They were to live before others in the promised land, and other nations would be drawn to them. But Israel failed, and instead of desiring to be a different nation, what did they desire to be? They wanted to be like everybody else. Do you ever feel that way about yourself? You know, we are a precious chosen people. We are a people who are set apart, and we are precious in God's sight. But sometimes we want to be like everybody else. So they were a nation. They wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to be like the other nations. And so the elders of Israel went to Samuel, and they said, to him, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all nations." They wanted to be like everybody else. Well, now let's come back up to more modern times, a couple thousand years ago. Now, God has made the church the deliverer of His light. You and I now are the ones who deliver the light. We deliver the gospel. We deliver that good message or the good news of Christ, the gospel. God has not told us to stay in the promised land where we're at. He told us to go to the ends of the earth to be the light in darkness. Matthew 28:19. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So the Lord wanted Israel to stay in their land and have people come to them. But now the Lord says that, no, I want you to go out. We as believers go out into the world. And He wants us to go out into all the world with the gospel. And God dwells not just in our presence now, okay? He doesn't dwell in our presence, but He now dwells in us. He resides in each believer. Romans 8:9, "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him." So since so the Spirit of God dwells in you. He doesn't dwell with you. Okay, not some outside force, doesn't dwell with you. He's not by you. He's not even near you, but He dwells in you, the Spirit of God. And it's only through Christ, faith in that promise of God, Christ our Redeemer, our Messiah, that he dwells in you. And so he's promised us that he'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us. Matthew 28:20, and I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. So this is the group that we are a part of. We are part of the church. And if you want to bring it down to where we are right now, you know, we're part of the Mackey Community Church in the town of Mackey. This is our group. This is where we belong. This is our group. Israel rejected their Messiah, and the Lord created a new body of people, a new group, not to replace Israel. And this is important. We are not, the church did not replace Israel. So he didn't bring us in to replace Israel as his chosen nation, as his chosen people. All the promises that the Lord made to Israel are promises that he will keep to Israel. So we've not replaced Israel. Well, now God wants to use the church. He wants to use this group. He wants to use the church to accomplish the same purpose that he chose Israel to do to all the nations back then, to be his light. The purpose is to bring those who don't know God into a living, loving relationship with him. Bring them into the dark, into the light, out of the darkness, into the light, and bring them into his mercy through his son. And to achieve the same thing that Israel was to accomplish, only now it's in a different way. And that we go out and we present we tell the people the gospel, the love of Christ, that he died for us, that he rose on the third day for our sins, that we could be forgiven and that we can have eternal life. I know this verse sounds like we could be replacing the Israel, and it doesn't mean that. Again, the church is not now Israel, or that we placed Israel in the plan of God. And the church has not become the new Israel. It is the church. Israel is still Israel, okay? And they are still God's chosen nation with promises from God that still have not been seen. And so when God promises something, he is always faithful. He's always faithful to keep his promises. So what Israel was called to do in its day of grace, we are now called to do to show a needy world that the only way to fill that need is through Christ, our Lord, through Christ Jesus. He calls us a chosen race, a chosen group of people. Back to verse 9 there. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So Israel was a physical race. They were a direct descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So it was a physical race. The church is a spiritual race. It is a spiritual race. It's a spiritual generation. It's a spiritual group. Its members share a common characteristic, and that is what? Faith in Christ. Belief in Christ. Faith in Christ. You know, the church is both Jew and Gentile. There's no distinction between the two. And we become a members of one body by faith in Christ our Savior. Believers are spiritual descendants of Adam. Whereas Israel were physical descendants. We're not physical descendants. We're spiritual. And unless, of course, you're of Jewish descent. And we are his children in the sense that we believe God's promises just as Abraham believed his promises. We are believers. We are, as believers, priests before God. We are priests before God. And he made us, Revelation 1:6, he made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we function as priests in that, you know, we worship God. We intercede for others. We pray for others. Okay. We minister to the needs of others, the spiritual needs of people who need their Messiah. And we stand between man and God with a message of hope in Christ, a message of redemption, a message of rescue for them. That's what we do as a group. That's what we do as individual people. We want to bring people into our group. He has chosen us to be his, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And he has made us his own for one purpose. For one purpose. Verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may what? Proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To proclaim his marvelous light. The one thing about, you know, as we talked about truth, what is one of the common threads of truth that we see? It's the gospel, isn't it? It's that marvelous light, calling people out of darkness into the marvelous light, because the gospel is the foundation of what is really true. Christ, Jesus, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the foundation of what is really true. And even, you know, now as even as believers, as a church, we seek the things that are true, don't we? And sometimes we get muddled up in what is cultural or what is trending for the day. And there may be some truth in what those trends are, what the culture is. But if it doesn't compare to the truth of God's word, if it doesn't compare to the truth of Christ, if it doesn't compare to the truth of the gospel of Jesus, then it is not foundationed in truth. It's not foundationed in truth. So as we look at this and we look at that common thread of the gospel, that is the foundation. You want to change the world? Because what is the thing right now, that especially in this nation, that we want to do? We want to set things right, don't we? We want to make things right. And so we start groups, don't we? We start groups to say, okay, this is what this group is going to do. We're going to do all this stuff to make things right and to overturn or to do whatever. We start these groups. But what is the group that we need to be starting? How about the group of people who put their faith in Christ? How about having a group of people that says, you know what? Instead of going out and trying to change what my government says or to change what my representative says or my senator says or my president says, I'm going to start a group that says, that's going to go out there and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And bring them into my group. Because that's what's going to change the world. That's what's going to change our situation that we're in. Is bringing people to know the truth of the gospel, to bring people in to know the saving grace of Christ, bringing those people. So we're to proclaim that marvelous light. And he's equipped us to take this light into the darkness. And he's made us his chosen generation, his royal priest, his nation, his representative. Next week, we're going to talk about being ambassadors. Being ambassadors of this great message of reconciliation. But he brings us in to do one thing, and that is to shine his light around the world. Our ministry is really the same as Israel's was. We do it differently, don't we? We do it differently. Our ministry is the same, to be that instrument God uses to reach individuals who are still in spiritual darkness. That's what he wants to use us for. That's the purpose of our life, is to reach people in that spiritual darkness, to reach individuals who are still in need of a redeemer, to rescue them so that they can know God and have a relationship with him. There's no greater joy than to see somebody come into a relationship with the Lord, to come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a dangerous thing, however, to think that we, the church, have replaced Israel, that we are a continuation or a replacement of Israel in the New Testament. Israel is still very much a part of God's plan for eternity. Still very much, because if they aren't, then there are promises that are unkept. And what is the one thing that we can rely on? That is that God is faithful. God is faithful to keep the promises that he promised. And there are still promises of Israel that still need to be fulfilled. So Israel is still very much a part of God's plan for eternity. But you know what they did? They lost that gift. They lost the gift that God gave to them. And what's that gift? The gift of being his beacon of light to the world with his saving message, the gospel. They lost that gift. Do you look at that as a gift? Do you look at the gift that you received, the gospel, Christ alone, faith in Christ? Do you look at that as a gift that you can give to other people? The gift is from God, but you know what? We have the message of that gift. Do you see that the privilege of sharing the gospel as a gift, of being the beacon of light as a privilege? Salvation is not just about us. Our salvation isn't just about us. there are many blessings that we receive in salvation. If you read through the first half of the book of Ephesians, it is just filled with the marvelous blessings that you and I have, those spiritual blessings that you and I have as believers. And all of that is for a reason, so that we are equipped to bring the light into darkness. He's blessed us with all these spiritual blessings so that they're in us. So that the blessings that we have internally are going to come out externally, and we are going to be a light in a world of darkness. We are who we are in Christ so that we can boldly go into the world that hates the light and show them how much greater the light is over darkness. I think when people get a glimpse of light and darkness, you've been in a dark room. You've been in a dark room. There's in Northern California, there's these great redwood forests. Okay. And you go into these forests and when you turn the lights off, it is dark. It is really dark. It is so dark that your eyes don't even adjust. In fact, you can't even see the stars through, you know, the redwood trees are kind of tall. They're big trees. You can't see the stars through the tree. And it is complete and utter darkness in those forests. And then somebody turns on a flashlight and all of a sudden things lighten up. Even a little tiny flashlight, there's a glimmer of light there. Well, it's the same way. I think people in darkness who are in darkness, they want to see that light. And when you and I are that glimmer of light, when you and I can bring them just a glimmer of light, it just opens up a whole new world for them. It can. Are we bringing them that light? Are we bringing them that gift to bring them out of that darkness and into the light? So who we are is who we are in Christ. And to fulfill the purpose of God's people, you know, do you ever feel like you have lack of purpose? Sometimes, you know, feel like I have lack of purpose, you know, especially when it comes to about a Monday. And it's like, you know, Monday, everybody has lack of purpose, right? Because it's Monday. You ever feel like you have lack of purpose? Well, it seems like life can, you know, has really become self-centered, unwilling to sacrifice, focused on worldly goals, centered on material things. So when those things don't go kind of the way we plan, it's kind of like, oh, we become a failure. We become a failure. Because what do? I base my failures on those material things. You know, how much money I have in the checking account or the kind of car I drive you know, the success of my career. And if those don't look the way that, well, maybe the world thinks they should look, you know, I don't have my retirement accounts all set up the way that I should have my retirement accounts set up because of the way, you know, because of something, because of the way that people say I should have them set up. Well, I'm just not a success. I really have no purpose in life. But our true purpose as believers is to proclaim Christ, our Redeemer. So the people who once were not of God can become special and become people of God. 1 Peter 2:10. For you once were not a people, but now you are a people of God who had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And you were there once, weren't you? I was there once. You were there once. You were once in darkness and in need of the light. You were once not a people, but now you are a people of God. I want to be in that group. I want to be in the people of God group, not the people who are not of God, okay, that aren't a people. I want to be in the people of God group there. And then somebody shared that message of the gospel. Somebody shared the message of Jesus with you. And what did you do? You believed. You put your faith in the Savior. You found that marvelous light and you trusted Christ as your Redeemer. Well, mercy is there, but one does not receive mercy until they trust in that promise of God, do they? They don't receive that mercy until they put their faith in Christ and they receive that mercy and you believed in that and you trusted in that. We are different. We are a different kind of a group. We are a part of a group with truth as its compass, aren't we? I hope we are. I hope we are a group of people who sees the truth of God's word and let that guide us where we are going. Let that guide us in what we are doing. Let that guide us in how vocal we are and what we're saying to people in our community. Let that guide us in taking that marvelous light to the people. We're not ordinary. We're not like those in darkness. We're not ones that drift in and out of trends as they cross our paths. We're not ones to submit to every culture and changes because it seems right. And that kind of seems where we're at now, huh? It's like, yeah, you got to accept this. You got to accept that because that just seems like it's right. Well, you know what? If it doesn't line up with God's word, is it right? If it doesn't line up with the message of the gospel, is it right? If our group does not line up with the desire to change the world with the message of the gospel, is it right? And I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing some of those things, but I'm saying that if we want to change the world, if we want to change things around us, what is it that has to change? The heart. And the only thing that is going to change the heart is that message of Christ, is for people to put their faith in a Savior who's going to save them and change their lives. We are different. We've been called out of the darkness to become a special people. He didn't call us out of the darkness because we are special people. We are special people because we have been called out of that darkness. We are different. And to be a part of our purpose, to be a beacon of light in our community. You know, do we shine that marvelous light? Do we shine that marvelous light? Let's pray. Lord, you've made us a part of a group of special people that sees truth through your truth. Lord, let our eyes always stay focused on the truth of your word. And let that always be the focal point of really everything that we do. Everything that we get involved with, every group that we get involved with, let us ask that question, Lord, is this truth? Not if it's true, but if it's truth. Truth from your message, from your word. Lord, let our eyes always stay focused on what is true. Your message, your word, your agenda. Keep our hearts toward you and not let it stray to the latest trend or the latest culture. The latest thing that may sound good, that may sound right, but that is not truth. Keep our eyes focused. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.